Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to everybody joining us tonight in the Blog Talk Radio world. Thank you. Welcome, YouTube. Good to have you with us here tonight. And we are conquering
the world.
In our life and in this world. And we welcome all of y'all. All y'all. What is that? We conquer. Tonight, I'm going to endeavor to teach the message I had last night. But last night was a good program talking about prayer, talking about what God's doing in our lives and how we can make a difference in the end of this election year and see God bring us some great and mighty political leaders. And, you know, not about Republican or Democrat, about righteous, about men and women who love and walk with God. So tonight, I'm going to start right out tonight with a prayer that I wrote and we talked about last night. And I'm going to share it again. And I just want us to start with prayer. I want you and I to be doing our part to pray. And so we don't usually start like this, but it'll be all right. Screen number one is shared. Let's get a little bit of like this. Move that over here. And, hold on a little bit. That's just being a little obstinate about what it wants to do. Let me say it differently. You and I are overcoming exactly what that wants to do. So I'll talk about this a little bit more. Goodness sakes alive. I do believe that we have such a master on technology right now that the technology is looking at each other saying, am I doing this or are you doing this? And right now, I'll just let you do that. It's an interesting day. I was helping Sister Donna today get her e-sword working. And the bottom line is the only problem that was there is that the apps were fighting each other in what they were trying to get accomplished. But that's all right. Guess what? She called me back later on and said, hey, Pastor, I won. E-Sword is on my computer. All right, now let's see if this will show up like we ask it to. There it is. This is a prayer we wrote to pray hourly between now and the election. If you would like to have this prayer, text me, email me, and I'll be glad to share it with you. I'll be glad to get it to you however I can. And I encourage you. Yesterday, almost every hour I got it prayed, but today was a lot more busy day. I had a meeting, and I didn't quite get it done every hour, but this is my commitment. Father, I am serious about seeing something change in the United States, the United States of America to finally change, and we get back to our foundation that God made us when he established this covenant with us. So here we go. Say this with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we lift the United States of America up to you and stand in the gap for her before you. We repent for the willingness of our leaders to see her fall. We repent for ourselves, America's citizens, for not having been diligent to guard the gift you gave us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we call those sins our own. We bring them to the cross and ask you to remove them from us and from this land. According to your word, speak this word over the United States of America. Lord, we have heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then the word of the Lord came to me. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Instead of the tyranny of the present, I will appoint peace as your officers and righteousness as your taskmasters. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, nor devastation or devastation or destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Your people also shall be uncompromisingly and consistently righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with them, and you shall know and understand and realize that I am in the midst of you, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is none other. My people shall never be put to shame. Listen, O heavens, and we will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. We will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of God. He is the rock. His words are perfect, and all of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just he is. In the name of Jesus Christ, we loose this nation of every assignment of Satan set against her. And in Jesus' name, we bind the promises of the Word of God to the United States of America. Thank you for your healing work in this land, precious Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And when I send it, there's the verses of scripture that go along with it. I thought this had, along with it, hold on just a second then. I got to put a reference in here because, yeah, I'm not sure. I thought I had it in there. 54:17. There, when I go back to it, I'll make sure that's in it before you get it sent to you. That verse says, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from you, Jesus. Now, let me click over here real quick. There it is. Sister Sunday, Sister Leanne, Rebecca, Roger. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to have you guys with us over there on YouTube. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me grab this link real quick. Now, where's my share? Stop the share. There we go. I'm going to find another one here that doesn't seem to be right where it's supposed to be. And so let me get that, and we're going to make another confession about this election. I've found it. Now, if you've been with us in the morning sessions in a prayer time, you will have begun to hear along with us Brother Dutch has been teaching us on dreams, and it's a very, 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 very powerful teaching. And if you haven't been a part of them, please go back and just determine one day you're going to get caught up, because you just need to get caught up with it, because it's been that powerful. And today, as he talked about God being the senior partner, you and I, turn my video back on here, you and I got to realize God is the senior partner. And as we walk with him, he is going to lead us into steps that they're going to go way beyond our understanding. And when we do it, it's going to solve all kinds of problems in the same place, because he's the senior partner. We are the cloak that our God, the cloak, he puts on every day to go into this world. Lay our hands on the sick, change people's lives, and see mighty, mighty miracles happen all over this world. And you and I have been doing that ever since we got started, and we're going to keep doing it. It's called The Healing Room by Almighty God and a mighty manifestation of His Spirit. One night when we were just sitting there being us, and God showed up and began to speak, and thank God for that. And that's been true ever since. This has been a healing room where people come to be healed. Now, as the people here in our body know, I have been challenging them all to fast with us about the election and to see God turn it. And so this is a prayer I've kind of adapted from a bunch of people, but I ask you to pray this prayer with us too. This prayer is a prayer to save America and end abortion. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. The righteous are as bold as a lion, and we have access by faith to come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you that you told us we are the restraining force on this earth until the rapture happens. Abortion, humanism, dishonesty in the votes. You are restrained and destroyed in Jesus' name. Hold on. I'm never going to capitalize the enemy's work, and I'm never going to start a sentence. There you go. Forgive the political and spiritual leaders who are so willing to watch America die and do nothing to stop it, but act on purpose for its destruction. Well, hold on. I'm just getting Holy Spirit revelation. The United States of America will be saved. God said so. We ask you to remove the wicked leaders from their offices and replace them with God-loving, righteousness-filled, passionate American patriots who will get busy during their term in office and crush this perversion and purge it from our nation so it will never happen again. I guess I'm just going to rewrite it right here in front of your eyes. So it will never operate again. Wicked leaders, be tried and convicted, and your sentence carried out immediately for your perverse wickedness against the Constitution of the United States of America. May the vile wickedness of abortion actually be seen by everyone so that a nationwide outcry happens and these people pay for this wicked, perverse atrocity immediately. We bind the spirit of Baal that has been demanding a blood sacrifice of our children. We are the children of God, and we do not obey your commands, thoughts. Looks like we're going to finish it. In the name of Jesus, we are standing in the righteousness of Jesus and are as bold as the Lion of Tribe of Judah every day. most of all, Jesus, help them come to you and know you so that their lives don't spend eternity without you in eternal damnation. Them up with dreams and visions of their eternity. Please bring these wicked leaders of iniquity to their senses, like you did with the Apostle Paul. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace. Let's just throw that set of verses in there. Forgive us for the 65 million deaths of our precious sons and daughters. Of our precious sons and daughters. Isn't that something? In the United States of America. Have mercy on our young ladies and now even senior citizens who have had abortions. Help them as they humble their hearts and repent to you to receive your love, mercy, grace, and healing. We bind the trauma that happened in their lives on the day of the abortion. And we declare, Jesus sets you life more abundantly to you today. We declare they have dreams and visions of their babies in heaven, celebrating with God the Father, awaiting the return of their mother. Bring your judgment, your justice, and recompense to everyone involved in the abortion industry who knows exactly what they're doing. And yet with great purpose, refuse to turn from their wicked ways. The blood of every American warrior cries out for liberty and freedom from this atrocity. The blood of our babies cry out from heaven that this ends now and life more abundantly is lifted up in the United States of America. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood speaks a better word. End abortion. Lord, once and for all, we declare no more bloodshed of our innocent babies. Paint America red with the blood of Jesus in this election, and then empower those elected leaders to get busy and get the work done immediately. Say this boldly. This is our government. You and I, we the people. All right, I'm going to add it right there. We the people. We the people declare no more political games. Say it again. We the people declare no more political games are allowed in Washington, D.C. on either side of the aisle. We the church have joined together and we stand in agreement against it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking whom he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right toward him. We know, yes, we know you have heard this prayer. We know we have the petition that we ask. We call it done, and we give you glory and honor and praise for the blood and righteousness of Jesus that gives us this boldness. Thank you, Lord. And confidence as we pray this prayer. You are alive and well on the inside of us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. America shall be saved by the power and the will of Almighty God. And I have one more that I want us to pray. Well, let's find it.
The great amen.
The great amen. Amen, Roger. Amen, 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 amen. The great amen.
Wasn't that a hymn? The great amen?
Well, I don't know. If you know that as a hymn, then please help me see it, because there it is. All right. Now, how dare you do that to me? Folks, what you're seeing as I edit this right in front of your eyes is, it's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Almost everything you just saw me delete, I have already deleted them. Don't know how it got back. Really don't care. I think it's very interesting that it was already deleted and a bunch of it already changed. Now, let me increase the size of this a little bit. Now, this is a prayer we're praying over ourselves now. And thank you, Roger, for saying that. Let me see if it's still there. All right. Just making sure my end was right. All right. Here we go. I want you to pray this right out loud with me at your house. You can't pray it online out loud because that'll change my screen, so, or on the Zoom. But pray it out loud in your house and shout amen every now and then. In Jesus' name, you Amorite spirit, I bind you and your power from operating against me, causing me to slander or to entice me to babble and rebel and talk about other people. You will cease and desist from sowing thoughts of discord and division into my mind. You will not bring condemnation to paralyze me in Jesus' name. I am free from your slander, from your babbling and talking and rebelling, and bitterness and division and sowing discord. I seal this in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you Hittite spirit, I bind you and your powers from operating against me, to break me or to cause me to fear the activities of doubt and unbelief are bound in my life in Jesus' name. And I command you to loose me from fear and the spirit of fear, to loose my life. And therefore, I am free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you Hivite spirit, I take authority over you. You will not bring deception or wickedness to us any longer. As a villager or a deceitful friend. You will no longer disguise yourself as someone ordinary. You will not seduce us to part with money or some get-rich scheme, quick scheme, or some wrong deal. I command you to cease your activity in our life. In Jesus' name, I claim back every dollar that I have spent or invested in schemes and wrong deals in Jesus' name. You Jebusite spirit, according to Matthew 11:28-30, I take authority over you. You spirit of heaviness, you will not operate against me any longer. You will no longer tread us, where to go, under your feet or attack our emotions with negativity. You will not attempt to sap our confidence or our strength any longer. We command you to cease and desist from instigating the feeling of resignation or quitting in our lives in Jesus' name. Your powers are broken in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, parasite spirit, according to John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Well, I'm not sure why I left that like that, but we have received life, and life more abundantly. Spell right here. From Jesus, and we are enjoying it every day. What is this? The Word of God says, when we find a thief, he shall restore to us sevenfold. You have been found as a thief, and you must pay sevenfold. You will no longer cause us to dwell in an unwalled city. You will no longer steal or dispossess from us what we have built up in Jesus' name. So we take back everything you have stolen in the name of Jesus, and we declare that we are prospering and everything in the Word of God belongs to us. Jesus is the great provider, Mammon. Can't believe I write like this. Mammon, you are the foul spirit. Yeah, I'll say it again. Jesus is the great provider. Mammon, you're the foul spirit attached to the money of the wicked. Get off of our lives. We are the righteous. I'm going to get this. I don't know why I'm having to do all this, but it's all right. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of Mammon, we bind you. We bind your powers against us, from operating against us, to steal from us, to block creative money, making ideas, and to block creative thoughts from reaching us. We command you to loose every money-making thought that you have ever stolen from us or blocked from us in the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 31 promises us that when the thief is found, he must pay sevenfold and I command you to pay it back sevenfold now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Here we go. Let's say our scriptures. Isaiah 61, 7 through 8. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Say it with me. I get to possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their word in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Joel 2, 25 through 28. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten because of the deception of the enemy. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, I thought I had it all ready for all y'all to see, but it's all right. We just hammered on it right here. I claim seven ideas for every idea you stole from me. And I bind you now, and I loose you from your ability to attack me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, let me get out of this. Everybody just pause. God bless you, Sunday, and Rebecca and Roger and everybody else that's over there on YouTube. We love you guys. Good to have you. Brother Roger, can we get a big amen?
The great amen.
Amen, man. It's good to hear your voice, brother.
I had abandoned YouTube. I'm back on, I'm on Zoom now.
That, all right. Won't be the first time that happened.
No. Uh-uh.
All right. Now, I want us to do this confession. Pastor, this feels like a lot of prayer. Well, we're coming down to the last days of this election, folks. And we've got to be very committed to prayer to see things change in America. Let me turn off my... Jesus, help me. Oh, goodness sakes alive. All right. Isn't that something? Hold on. I just got to find my deal here. Wow. Well, guess it's just going to stay like that until we're done. Very interesting. All right. Back to the prayer thing. I declare, everybody say this with me, I declare all of our technology functions properly. I declare all of our technology functions properly in Jesus' mighty name. Going to have to get that confession out and begin to make that again because I don't usually have this. Whatever you foul spirit, whoever you are that's trying to mess up this tonight, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, in the mighty name of Jesus, you have no authority in this house. You are a completely restrained, totally defeated spirit. I bind your work and everything you're saying about us, may it come back upon you a hundredfold return. There is no witchcraft against the covenant. You do not do this. We stand in the blood of Jesus and we give God glory and honor and praise for his blood that we stand in right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And this program will continue to go forth and it will continue to crush every one of the adversaries of our God, like Jesus did when he died and when his feet hit hell, he destroyed you and you're destroyed forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. We might as well do that. All right. I'll get back to this. I'll get back to us. I'm going to go back to my notes. We're going to have a good program. Just hang with me here. There it is. I know this isn't what most people do on their program, but hey, we might as well because we are winning. We're not losing. You may not know this song. I don't really know it too well myself, but I know it good enough to sing it, and I want to just rejoice in the blood of Jesus. Because I am obviously in a battle here tonight of some kind, and there's no greater weapon than the word, the name, and the blood of Jesus. And this may not sound like the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, but it's all right to me. I really don't care because we are crushing enemy forces around every one of our lives right now tonight. I might have to modulate as I get into this, but that's all right. Just stick with me. We'll sing it. I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. From the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight, so you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. Now death has no sting, and life has no end. I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Well, I know this. We glorify your name, Jesus. Here comes that anointing. Glory, 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 glory. Shola maktison modashika. Enos banda klavita maka. Andos kidama. Shola kalasit. Endola sumadak tishirak. Ola sidamak tivanondisha katianta. Nothing but your presence, Almighty God. nothing but your word and your name and your blood and your righteousness will be our strength. We receive from you today, once again, in the mighty, 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 mighty name of Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for showing up here tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Shombanda lesta de coma, amreshapanda devala boost, kadarostika, endostapanda levadi boosta, estobara shalamakati, ando stringeleba veredistika, anamonde, bela sipanamakati. Not only have I called this a healing room, but I have made you a force in the realm of the spirit by my choice, by my design, by my will. I have made you this force. I am fixing things you don't know how to fix. I am establishing you in ways you don't know how to establish. I am changing things in your life that you don't know how to change. Surrender to me. Let me do my work in your life, saith the Lord. I am your God. I have called you by my name. You are mine. You are mine. And I will lead you in the paths of righteousness for your name, for my name's sake, so you complete your mission on this earth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Shalamakata. Endostama klanamisita. Enondra sendabala kavitika. Enando. Shola krastanda di kipadaba. You may have been looked over in your lifetime. But you are not looked over. You are not forgotten. Heaven sees your work, your labor of love, your desire to care for the kingdom and to help others know my name. Humble yourself. Let me do my work in your life, and I will take you farther ever dreamed you could go. Dream those dreams that I placed in your life as a child. Dream those dreams that I have placed in your life as an adult. They're not from the enemy. They're from me. I want to bring those dreams to pass. My presence is here. My anointing is flowing toward you. Right here. Right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And Jesus, just lift your hands and say, I receive it, Father. I receive it, Father. I receive it, Father. I receive it, Father. I receive from you. Thank you for your wonderful presence that's here. Help us, Father. Help every one of us to walk so closely with you that we only do what we see you do. We only say what we see you say 24/7, 365, every single day in the mighty, awesome, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the mighty, awesome, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Wow. Spirit of God, you are here tonight. Have your way. This is your operate. This is your platform to form to speak through. And we worship you right now tonight. Oh, God Almighty, we declare, Jesus, you alone are worthy. Holy Spirit, thank you for being our helper and our friend and our the one that works alongside of us. Thank you for being our teacher that brings to our remembrance all things that Jesus taught us, that shows us the way to go and the things that will be coming. Thank you that you are the empowerment that makes us go to be an example in this community, in our city, in our county, our state, and in this nation around the world, wherever you want to send us, Jesus. Thank you. 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 We give you glory, honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. You know, when the Holy Spirit shows up like this, always be sure that you're quick to say, Holy Spirit, I put aside everything else. I have no greater desire than to see the plan, hear the voice of God, and walk in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. Let's just pray in the spirit. Shonaklam. Endola stande di kamarisha. Enamando stukala brishta fademakala tum. Endo malasanibaka. Anashola strakani undam. Endo basta di blanda. Kenda rashte klambusta. Eda standon romala. And a basikata. Oh, that's of Lidamaka. Oh, this Samalanduki. And a dosta of Lamakita de Grey Nasida Vodokata. Umbanda Lesata. And a Munda de Kistata. Ashtikila Mundi Kadaba. Maybe you're new to us. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never heard anybody pray in the spirit like this before. Maybe you were from some religious sect that told you that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And you've been afraid of people like me or those who actually have their heavenly prayer language by which they minister back and forth between God the Father and themselves every day. And you've been taught to judge it or condemn it or to belittle it or to be scared of it. Well, I encourage you tonight, do not be afraid of what you're hearing. I encourage you. I am a man of God. These people that are with me, we are people of God. We have no desire to chase any evil spirit anywhere. And what this is you're hearing is the language of heaven. And God Almighty promised this in Joel chapter 2. He would pour out this spirit in the latter days. And he poured out that spirit. And he was faithful to his word. And in so doing, he put it in man. And on the day of Pentecost, disciples that had never heard the word tongues, they'd never heard it. They didn't know anything about it. Disciples that never heard the word tongues before in their life began to prophesy and to speak in tongues, just like the book of Acts said they would. Guess what? They didn't run and hide from it. They didn't say, oh no, what is this? We must be a cult. That's what the spirit of religion has taught people to say in this day. Peter, James, John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Jesus' brothers, the 12 disciples, and 100 other people were in the upper room. Mary, the mother of Jesus, didn't run from speaking with tongues. She spoke in tongues. Yep. And they didn't hide it. They took it right out into the street. And thousands of people began to be saved immediately and were added to the church. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. In any sense of the word. This is nothing to be afraid of. I was taught, let me say it differently, because I wasn't taught by my mom and dad to be afraid and to run. I was taught somewhere, I don't even know where, to stay away from the moving of the Spirit of God when people began to speak in tongues. And it took me a while to get past that in my life. I want to encourage you to do exactly what I did so that you can see exactly how to get past this and to get through this in Jesus' mighty name. So, it's not my message. I will have to retitle this program. Hey, Wayner dude. Don't worry about it, John. I'm not worried about it, brother. If you did me wrong in any way, which I don't know, that's all been forgiven a long time ago. I'm glad to see you, man. This is an answer to one of my prayers right here. I love you, John. I love you, John. John's joined us over on YouTube tonight. Wow. What a sermon this, what a night this is. Glory to the name of Jesus. You oppose us, devil? And we're having we conquer every piece of territory our Father gives us, and your opposition gives us every right to declare 7 times and double for the shame of what you're trying to take away from us. And our Father doesn't fail. So the blood of Jesus has surrounded us. And tonight, great harvest of souls, great harvest of finances comes to us all. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Wow, 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 wow. So, here's what we're going to do tonight for our study. Let's go and let's read some verses of Scripture. Let's read the Word of God. I know. Hallelujah. Right, Sunday? So good to see you, John. My goodness sakes alive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Where am I going to start, Jesus? Here we go. This is Holy Spirit led. Go with me. Give me just a second here. Let me just talk to you for a minute and get myself focused in the Bible here. I grew up in a church that was very, very Spirit-filled. My dad, mom and dad loved God with all of their heart. My dad was a pastor all of his life. And we had a little church in a little town, in a little building on a big hill on the side of a main road. And it was called West Branch Community Church. And we knew the move of God. We knew the move of God. And out of that church has come many preachers and ministry workers and Sunday school teachers and treasurers and all kind, everything you can imagine in a church, they're there. And many people, many of us work in the ministry and do all kinds of things. And went away to school and things. And I began to study the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Once I got out of Bible college, wasn't for a class. We didn't necessarily have a class on that. But as I would read the Bible, I would see him talking about tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, it's in here. Why don't I know anything about it? I mean, I went to Christian school for 5 years, Bible college for 2 years, grew up in a Christian home. Why don't I know something about it? Well, as life goes, everybody always spends their time on something. And for some reason, I never had spent any time on that. And so I began to seek. I'm like you. I began to seek. Oh, yeah, it's a small white building. Yes, Roger. Yep. Right on top of the hill just outside of West Branch, just past the bowling alley, if you've ever been there. It's a cool place. A lot of wonderful memories there. God touched a lot of people. And I began to seek. And I had gotten into Amway, the soap company, if you know what that is. And the man who was in the diamond of that certain group of people had begun to spend a lot of time to build a group there in West Branch. And I got to be pretty close with him, and I sent him a letter. Back that was before texting and emailing, like a long time. That was like 85. I sent him a letter and said, hey, Jerry, what about this? And he began to show me. No, he didn't show me nothing. He said, I can tell you haven't read the Bible. That's what he said to me. I'm like, well, who do you think you are? You know, but he was a wonderful man of God. He was rich, but he was a wonderful man of God. And had proven himself to me to be a man of God. And I just looked in myself and I said, you know what, Sam? You have never really read those verses all together out loud. And he said, read the book of Acts. You didn't give me a verse. He said, read the book of Acts. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And then read the book of Acts. And he said, when you get done, if you believe the Bible and you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll know exactly what to believe about tongues. And so I don't know if then I did it, but I probably do, because I've always been an underline and circle guy in my Bibles, every one of them, because I'm going to underline what's important to me, and then I'm going to circle important words. One of the ways you can help yourself to see whether or not this is of God is read what I just told you. Read Acts, the whole book. Read it out loud. Every time you see the word tongues, circle it. You'll amaze you. And then read 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 to hear how the Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul about the gifts of the Spirit. And chapter 14, the whole chapter is about tongues, interpretation, their public use, and their private use. The whole chapter is about it. If you'll do that, there will be no question in your mind. And all of a sudden, every time somebody says something to you that it goes against that scripture, you'll have to just look and say, that person is not schooled in this. and has never found out what the Bible actually says. Don't hate them. Don't be against them. Don't slander them. Just realize I'm probably going to have to go somewhere besides there to get my understanding of God's holy word. So whoever you are tonight that's with us, however many of you that's with us, and even if you are in the tribulation period because you missed the rapture, and you're listening to this, the Holy Spirit is still with you, even in the tribulation. He wants you born again. He wants you filled with the Spirit. God wants you to have the spiritual gifts flowing. He wants you to make heaven. And you can. You'll probably be martyred, but it is worth an eternity with our Father who created you rather than to spend eternity in eternal torment with the father of lies who did not begot you. He is not your father. But if you've espoused his doctrine of belief system, then God says, well, if that's what you really want, is that mentality and that lifestyle, then I, your father, have to let you have it. Against his will, the worst day of Jesus' life has not happened yet, but it's coming in this judgment day. When against his blood and his righteousness, his love, his mercy, and his grace, people choose the mentality, the lifestyle, the characteristics of his arch enemy, and he will have to forever judge them to eternal damnation. That's the worst day of Jesus' life, because his blood will be laying there, and it's a free gift. And they didn't pick it up and receive it. That's a severe day. Don't be that person. No matter where you grew up, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, don't do that. Matter of fact, let's do it right now. I don't usually stop at this point in the message, but it doesn't matter. I'm flowing with the Holy Spirit tonight totally and completely. Everybody pray this with me. Brother Roger, pray this with me if you will. You ready? I want to lead everybody in a prayer of salvation right now, no matter who you are. Might as well be right now for the rest of the program. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area of my life.
In every area of my life.
According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
If I believe in you.
If I believe in you.
You'll give me everlasting life.
You'll give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now make a declaration. Be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
My heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live the most successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. And amen. The great amen. Now, every one of you that just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You are now, what's happened to you right now, what's going on is the Almighty God of heaven and earth is filling your being right now. He is literally filling your being right now. And What's that doing? The light is pushing out all the darkness. When Jesus comes in, he washes you with his blood. He makes you white as snow. He gives you his righteousness. He literally fills you with his nature. And it's happening to you right now. You didn't just get born again and we give you a membership card at the back door. You didn't join a church. You didn't join a denomination. God Almighty just came to live on the inside of you to make you into who he made you to be. So he wants you to be what he designed you when he placed you in your mother's womb. Mom and dad came together, sperm and the egg met, and God said, that's this spirit, and he put you in it. And here you are. And he's already got a book written for you, all your days in it. Now, I'm going to go through verses of scripture that speak and the gift of tongues. It is a gift from God Almighty. Now, let's begin first in 1 Corinthians 14. And of course, I don't have any of these verses already written out in a note line, so I'm just flowing with the Holy Spirit. Here we go. I'm reading to you from the Word of God right out of the New King James Version. A lot of people like the King James. I like the New King James because it takes the these and thous out of it, I don't speak Elizabethan. I wasn't trained Elizabethan. I'm not going to be an Elizabethan. So I'm going to speak the English of today, which is why I like this translation, New King James Version. Now, let's read verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. If you guys can help me and we create a verse list on this, this would be really good since seeing how they're not already in my notes. And it helps me to grab them and put them in the notes at the end of the program. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Thank you, Rebecca. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you and I are speaking in tongues, we're speaking a mystery of God. We're speaking it into our life, or we're speaking it into the realm of the spirit over someone else's life that we're praying for and believing God to move. So when you speak in a tongue, it's not for anybody else to understand. It's for you to be in direct correlation, relationship with Almighty God. Let's keep reading. Matter of fact, no, let's not. I want you to see it. John chapter 4. Hold your place there. You're going to need quite a few of these markers tonight, so you might as well find you a bunch of markers somewhere and you can mark. I'm going to give you more verses than you actually have the ability to have your fingers in. So just John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to go down here to verses 22 and 23. And 24. 22. You worship what you do not know. And we worship what, and we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So that's how we worship the Father. Look at this next verse. For the Father is seeking such to worship him, and you could say, in spirit and truth. 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You could say, in the spirit and the truth. God is seeking people to worship him in the spirit and in the truth. Well, if God is seeking you, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue, we call that praying in the spirit. God is seeking people to do this, so that your spirit man, which has been made right with God and one with God when you're born again, God is seeking those who will worship him in the spirit and in the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. Verse 2, when you speak in a tongue, you do not speak to men, but to God. So you're speaking to God. No one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks a mystery. Verse 3. I'm going all the way through 5, Rebecca. I'm back here now, and I'm going to read 2 through 5. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's somebody who, by the Spirit of God, has the word of God come to them that they speak out and they prophesy, just like tonight happened. They prophesy it, and as we're saying it, it's ministering to people's lives. Some people will be flooded with emotion. I was flooded with emotion tonight as I began to prophesy, and it's kind of difficult to prophesy when you yourself have tears in your eyes, but it's God. I was being ministered to as it came out of my own mouth, being led by the Spirit of God. Now, keep reading. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So tonight, as I prophesied those words, all of you were edified, which means built up, like a charge on a battery. One battery's dead, the other one's full of life. Then you put those jumper cables on there, and the one will be edified, it'll be built up. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. Now, don't stop. Look what Paul said. By the Holy Spirit of God. There's a lot of people that say, well, that's just Paul. No, Paul is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Holy men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak. Now, they wrote this by the Holy Spirit power. Verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. You cannot take this verse out of your Bible. The Apostle Paul, the believer killer, transformed into the greatest apostle. Two-thirds of the New Testament said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. No matter what message anybody ever preached to you, no matter how vehemently, passionately they said it, the Apostle Paul, in all the verses they used to tell you to be afraid of tongues, the Apostle Paul is the one who wrote those verses. And the Apostle Paul said very plainly, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Why? So that you can edify yourself. So that you can speak a mystery to God. Turn with me. Hold your place there. Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. It's coming, Rebecca. Just keep saying, I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and I have my heavenly prayer language. Just keep praying it and saying it every day. Don't worry about when. Just keep speaking it. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, he's talking to the church, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You literally speak a mystery to God, build up your most holy faith, edify yourself as you're praying, and it literally says you build up yourself and your most holy faith. I'm pretty sure I know about every one of us. I'm pretty sure I know about every one of us. We want to have the most holy faith we can have. We want to walk with God in a way we've never known. Never compare yourself to somebody else. Well, I want to walk with God better than they do. It ain't about anybody else. You don't have no competition in your life with anyone as soon as you come into this kingdom. Because it ain't about competition with anything in this life as a believer. There's no competition here. We all have an assignment by God. When you stand before heaven, he ain't going to ask you how you did compared to anybody. He's going to ask you, did you do what I say and what I designed you to do? What I wrote in a book about you when you were conceived, what I've been endeavoring to get you into all the days of your life. You will not be compared to another person. So don't judge yourself against anybody. You might look at them and say, yeah, but look at what they're doing. It don't matter what they're doing. It does not matter what they're doing. Because you got to do what God's given you to do. And it's all going to match this book. Look at verse 21 in Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are keeping yourself in the love of God. And then it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You not only keep yourself in his love, but you cause yourself to function in his mercy. You got a problem with another believer somewhere? Pray in the Spirit. And keep praying in the Spirit until God shows you the depth of that problem, what it is. Solve it inside your life. You may not be able to solve it with the other person. Solve it in the depths of your life so that you have the ability to, so that you have the ability to just be free and be who God made you to be, no matter what somebody else does. Now watch this. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead us tonight in this study in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14, 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues. There are people who preach that 1 Corinthians 13 hold on, let me find it. First Corinthians 13:8 declares by Paul that tongues have ceased. Now watch. The very verses of Scripture, right in the center of the gifts of the Spirit, the chapter on love, and then how to function in tongues. Right in the middle of the gifts of the Spirit, love, and speaking in the Spirit, They use a verse out of chapter 13, 8 to scare you away from tongues. Watch. First Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Don't stop. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, right now, today, and right now in Paul's day. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. It wasn't done away with the last apostle that died. That's what they teach you. No. When that which is perfect has come, that's when it will pass away. And that which is perfect has not come yet. So, look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Paul said it. Beholding yourself as in a mirror of God's word. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just also as I know, am known. So on the day when we're all standing in heaven, we won't need tongues. On that day is when it's going to cease. And that day is really close. So make sure you get your heart right with God and begin to walk with God every single day of your life. Now, back over into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Len, let's go down here to this verse. Let's see. Well, let's go to 13. This is talking about in a church service. And we already saw that Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So he wrote chapter 14 after he wrote chapter 13. So obviously it doesn't mean that tongues had passed away, because in the same letter he's writing, he says, and all y'all speak in tongues. Watch this. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. This is in a public setting. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Okay? What is the conclusion then? Here's the conclusion. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my understanding in your English language. I will sing with the spirit. And, don't take the and out, and I will sing with my understanding. Very obvious, two different types of singing. Watch. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he that occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? I got to put an arrow in my Bible here. Okay. Look what Paul says. Verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well when you're worshiping God in the spirit. You do. So 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, why did the Holy Spirit have him write that? This isn't Paul on a bad day. He was on some special medication. He had pain. He just got beaten, so he wrote this letter. And now he's all, no. That is not God. That is not God. Now, let's go clear to the end of the chapter. And let's read verse 37. Hold on a second. I got to get another arrow in here. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. I don't know how much more plain Holy Spirit can make it than that, but that's pretty plain. 1 Corinthians 14:37. We're still in the chapter 14. Thank you, Rebecca. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. 39. You can't take 39 out of the Bible. Watch. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. So churches that forbid you to speak with tongues do not match this verse. You have to let the silence work. I'll read it again, verse 39 and 40. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Desire it earnestly. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. What you and I have to realize, all right, got to go there. Put something in that spot because we're coming back. Go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter, Brother Tim, where'd you go, Brother Tim? 1 Timothy 4, 1. Watch. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. It's a familiar spirit, a deceiving spirit, speaking lies in hypocrisy, hypocrites, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, why are we here, Pastor? Because anyone who begins to mock and scorn prophecy and tongues and interpretation, Paul just said, do not forbid to speak in tongues. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. What are you going to do with these people then that are saying it? What do you have to do, Pastor? What am I going to do now? I'm in one of them churches. Well, you're going to have to start saying to God, God, what do I do? These people don't teach us. And they're, if it's a denomination, they're probably not going to teach it. He may have you go to the pastor and say, what about this, Pastor? And you got to do that. But more than likely, what usually happens, you end up having to go to a different church. But the Holy Spirit of God is now inside of you. We just prayed the prayer. And he'll lead you. He'll drive by a building and the Holy Spirit, you'll have that unction on the inside saying, I should go in there. Then you'll have the unction again. I should go in there. And then go. Sit in the back row and say, Holy Spirit, help me see why you're leading me to this position and where I'm going. What am I doing here? Why am I saying this to you? Because in these last days, you cannot put yourself in a position with a person who is functioning as a pastor of the church in a deceiving spirit. And the spirit of religion is the only one that teaches to despise prophecy or to forbid from speaking in tongues. They might not know those verses even exist. Many of them do it totally innocently because they're just following the doctrine of somebody that they studied after. So Holy Spirit will lead you in exactly what to do. We've seen many of those kind of churches change from the pastor on down. Everybody gets filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks in tongue. That's what happened to Brother Osteen's church. The Baptist kicked him out, but all the people said, "We're not kicking you out. Let the Baptist go. This is our building." And they all followed him because he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the Holy Ghost. John Osteen, not Joel. And so God will change old churches. But the most important thing is you got to get around some people that will teach you the Bible like it says and teach you to actually believe what the Bible says. Because if you believe what this book says and you truly read it, you will never be deceived. Never will you be deceived. Now, let me grab another verse while we're back over here. First Thessalonians 5. Let's read verses, 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's read 14 through 23. 14 through 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 23. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Those are some pretty simple assignments. We exhort you. Warn those who are unruly. Why? They're making a mess in their life. Let's keep reading. 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Have a rejoicing heart. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Don't give thanks for everything, because when the thief is trying to get in, you don't give thanks for that. You rebuke it, you stop it, you tell it to leave, and you live in the abundance of God. It says give thanks in everything. Look at this next verse, 19. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Quench is a word that means to throw water on fire. Now, the word quench in English also means satisfy your thirst. But the Holy Spirit is seen as fire. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is power and fire has power. So when you quench, put out, smother the Holy Spirit, you are quenching the Holy Spirit. That's one of the steps to blaspheming. And you can't go there. That's why I wonder about preachers that preach this stuff, because they've obviously not read the Bible, or they would not be teaching what they're teaching. And may God bring them to their senses immediately. Keep reading. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Look at this next one. Do not despise prophecies. Now, there's going to be all kinds of people that stand up and begin to speak in a tongue, and God gives them an utterance, and they don't get it right, but they're learning. Everybody's got to learn. That's not what we're talking about. You may have been in a church and seen some crazy Holy Spirit stuff. I have. I was in a church once that there was no Holy Spirit in there, but they were all functioning by a spirit, and it was a spirit of religion and a spirit of demonic religion, because it was horrible. I just walked out the door. I just left. Matter of fact, I did that in two different churches I did it in three different churches now that I sit here and think about it, because what was going on just was not God. It wasn't God. 20, again, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verses number 37 through 40. How are we doing for time here? Looks like we're doing good. We're glad you're here tonight, whoever you are that this is ministering to, and you've been asking questions to God, and you heard us speak in tongues tonight, and you're like, wait a minute, what is this? I think I just heard tongues for the first time. You did, but it's cool. It's God. It is God. And it's actually one of the most amazing ways to communicate with God, because you're speaking God's language, and there's nothing. Your brain can't get in the way. Your humanity can't get in the way. And when you truly are worshiping God in the spirit, it creates a time of entering into his presence like you've never experienced before, because your spirit man, who you are, is ministering straight to God Almighty. I'll show you that in just a minute. 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. If you're going to believe the Apostle Paul from Romans to Hebrews or Timothy, whatever your deal is, then you got to believe these verses. You can't pick and choose. The man was led by the Spirit. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And all of it points to speaking in tongues. It's right in God. If anyone's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, let's look at this. Let's go to 26 through 28. And then I'm going to get some other verses here. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. Obviously, they were quite a spiritual bunch of people, if each one of them was having a tongue and interpretation and revelation in all of those things. Let all things be done for edification. Now watch. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, and in turn, and let one interpret. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28, same chapter. Let all things be done in education. 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But like tonight, when I began to lead us in worship in the spirit, that wasn't a tongue to be interpreted. That was me worshiping God in my prayer language. And at that point, you and I should just join in and worship in your heavenly language. Worship God in your heavenly language. You should just join in. Now, if it's a tongue that is going to have an interpretation, which equals prophecy, then that tongue will be different. And then he said, you got to have an interpreter. Now watch. 28. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Well, that's what you're doing when you're praying in the Spirit, is you're speaking from you to God, and God's going to minister back to you. So if there's no interpreter present, which I'm sure that might be a situation every now and then, but the guy that's speaking in tongues can probably interpret. But what's Paul saying? Paul's not saying don't speak tongues in church. He's saying when you're prophesying a tongue in a service for everyone to hear, if there's no interpreter, you got to say on the inside when you begin to give that utterance of speaking in tongues, you start speaking, you got to know inside that God's saying to speak it. Because if he said to speak it, there'll be someone there to interpret it. But if not, then you can still speak in tongues out loud in church to God as long as it's in order with the rest of the service. When the pastor's preaching, that's not a time for you just bust out in tongues. That's out of order. Because now that would be the Holy Spirit interrupting the word. And the Holy Spirit's place on this earth is to point you to the word of God. That's why so many charismatic style churches are so far out of order, is they let the Holy Spirit interrupt the word, and instead of bringing attention to the word, they're bringing what would be attention to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will show you everything I've taught you and magnify me. So the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point us to the word of God. And they work hand in hand. Spirit, truth. Spirit, truth. Spirit, truth. Those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. And they work together. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark 16. And that verse, Mark 16, 15 through 20. This is Jesus. Bless you, Rebecca. Love you. Mark 16, 15 through 20. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Some translations say damned. That's really severe. And that's the case that's going to go. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or you cannot be saved. That's just how it is. I want you to notice, these are red letter words in your Bible. This is Jesus the Christ speaking. There's no way you can take these verses out of the Bible. But they do. And when they do, they're endangering themselves of the judgment at the end of this book. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now that's a power gift. If the church is not casting out demons that you go to, ask them why, ask them where, ask them when. Ask them what in the world's going on, why we're not casting out demons. You got to ask the question. The pastor might be looking for somebody to say, yeah, we'd like to cast out some demons in this place. But many of them have been bound by the religious indoctrination, by their organizational structure, and their denomination won't let them do it. Have to do it in the back room somewhere. In my name, they will cast out demons. There's people all over this world casting out demons. Just because the church that you might go to doesn't mean it doesn't happen. People are set free. They will speak with new tongues. This is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Lord and Savior, just before he ascends into heaven, telling the disciples, you're going to speak with new tongues. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they didn't run around saying, oh no, we're a cult, we're a cult, we're a cult. What are we going to do? We're a cult. No. He said, you're going to speak in new tongues. And when Peter stood up and said, this is that, Peter knew in his heart, Jesus said that the day he ascended. Here it is. We should enjoy it. What it says, take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, when a church teaches against this, yeah, that's a messed up deal. That's a messed up deal. This is Jesus telling you to do this. And what it ends up being is they despise prophecies, they forbid to speak in tongues, and they're close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God. And many of these preachers have actually done that. And once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the end. You're damned to perdition. So don't be involved in it. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to him, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Well, what was one of those signs? They spoke in tongues. First Corinthians 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is really, really good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Number 20 through 25. Now, remember what it says there in verse 20. The Lord went, they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them, confirming what they preached with signs and wonders. He just told them you're going to speak in a new tongue. He just told them you're going to cast out demons. He just told them you're going to heal the sick. So what were they doing? Healing the sick, casting out demons, and speaking in tongues while they did it. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 through 25. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. Now, hold your place there. I want you to see it. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. So here we go. We're going back to Isaiah 28, verse 11. Isaiah 28, verse 11. No, let's go to Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Hold on, I got to write that in my Bible. I like to put that right there by the verses in 1 Corinthians because I know where to go next time. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Look at this verse. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak, Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Now, I'm going to write this in here, 1 Corinthians 14, and that is verse number 23, right? 22. With stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people. Now watch this. This is the power of speaking in tongues. This is Isaiah 800 years before Jesus, 750 years before Jesus ever got here. 800 years before Pentecost. Isaiah is prophesying, stammering lips and another tongue, I will speak to my people. Now watch what happens when he does. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet you would not hear it. Some of you are like, I need to turn this off. No, you need to leave this on. You need to look yourself in the mirror and say, I better get this down in my life. I've got to understand exactly what this Bible's saying, because on the other side, I'm going to be judged by the book, not by that church. I'm going to be judged by this book, not the denomination. Pastor, you know how tough this is? Yes, actually, I do. I was scorned and mocked by many people and made fun of. But whatever. I stand here today flowing freely in the gifts of the Spirit, flowing freely in the praying in tongues, being able to see people, demons cast out, people's lives healed, and helping other people get their heavenly prayer language and love God and walk with him every day. It was worth every minute of it. And I had some real persecution over it. And I lost some friends over it. Seriously. Lost some good friends. Who knows? Probably lost some family members. I don't know. I don't worry about it. I got to a point where it's like, whatever. You don't have to come with me and I won't judge you, but I think you better look in the Bible because you need to see what this says. Because I want you to see this next verse. Look at verse 12. To whom he said, this is Isaiah 28, 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Praying in the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. I've told you my story about going to the hospital, praying in the Spirit, and the man that had been awake for 3 days in really bad shape fell asleep. And the nurses said he hasn't slept in 3 days. And he slept for 6 hours. And I walked him back and forth in the room while he's sleeping, just praying in the Spirit gently, standing on this verse. This is the rest that the weary longs for. Had we been able to get into those hospital rooms during the pandemic, there's thousands of people who would never died. They wouldn't let us in because they wanted them to die. You know, you can't convince me otherwise. I watched it happen with my own eyes, standing on this verse of scripture. That man laying in that bed, totally distraught. I said, Lord, up and go to sleep. Prayed a prayer. Said, it's good to see you. I'm going to pray you go to sleep. Like, thank you. I need to sleep. Like, close your eyes, turn off your light. I'm just going to walk back and forth in the room and pray. Thank you. You fall asleep, began to snore. I went out to the nurse's station at one point and said, do not enter this room and touch him. He's sound asleep. He came and looked in the door like, wow, we won't do a thing until he wakes up. And he didn't wake up for 6 hours. Using this verse of scripture right here. This is the rest which the weary are longing for. But don't miss verse 13. But the word of the Lord was to them. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go backward and be broken and snared and caught. Why, Pastor? End of verse 12. Yet they would not hear it. See, the problem is not that they couldn't hear it. It's that they wouldn't hear it. Now what do you got? Now you got somebody that's walking in deception on purpose. Wait a minute. Just because you start getting the light don't mean you got to go to your church and your pastor and rebuke them or anything. No, it doesn't mean that. You start studying it. You give yourself time studying it. Still go to your church. Still pay your tithes. Still do everything as a believer. But I've said what I said to you because you may have to leave it, because this is the answer that most people are looking for spiritually. They feel like there's a void, and they don't know what it is. And it's your ability to enter into the spirit-filled life. You don't seek tongues. You seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes tongues and flowing in the Spirit. Many people have been baptized without the Holy. They've been filled with the Spirit without it. Why? Because anybody who says, fill me with your Spirit, he's going to come in. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, that comes with power. And you'll know it when it hits you. Don't stop seeking it until you get it. I sought it for 6 years. But you shouldn't have to, because I'm here helping you. I'm here helping you. And then in my life at that point, nobody was helping me walk in that place. Yeah. Amen, Rebecca. You're the holy person. In Jesus' name. Where was that next place, Holy Spirit? You told me to go. Shandabala kite de basanevana kinte. Shendola bavidi bista de kamanabala nikita. Oh, there it is. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29, Joel 2, 28 and 29. Don't worry, this is not a message I have prepared. How to explain praying in tongues. There's a thing here that's prepared. This is just the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. And we love this. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. How much flesh? All. Just say it with me. Holy Spirit, pour out yourself on me. Father, pour out the Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. And there's an anointing. Just lift your hands and say it. Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit in power. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Even kids can get this. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now watch. Also, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. That's where it was prophesied in Joel. Acts chapter 2. And we'll probably be finished with this. Acts chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can't take these verses out of your Bible. That violates the Word of God. Fifth, verse 5. And there were dwelling, Rebecca, I'm going to read this, Acts chapter 2, all the way down to 21, 1 through 21. Might as well just read it. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. They were speaking in the heavenly language called glossolalia, tongues. And every man heard them in themselves, in their own language. Verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these men Galileans? In other words, how can they speak in my language? These men are Galileans. Now, how is it we hear in each one in his own language which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Christians, Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Mighty miracle. They spoke in the heavenly prayer language. And those people heard it in their native language. There's all kinds of stories of this and testimonies of this very same thing happened. I know a man who was in a foreign nation on a mission trip as a Baptist man, young man. And as the service went on, all of a sudden he began to prophesy and speak in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God wanted him into it, transformed his whole life. I know that man. That man got the left foot of fellowship from some people and had to walk through some severe trouble because of that. But whatever. He's doing good today. Verse 12. I'm in Acts 2, 1 through 21. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said they're full of new wine. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell the first day, the first hour, Peter went out and preached, and he preached Joel. Now you're going to call Joel and Peter and Paul? Joel the prophesied, Peter and Paul, they both wrote books in the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Ghost. You're going to call them wrong? You can't do it. You've got to take this book for what it actually says, because the book of Revelation says, if you take away from or add to this book, you're going to receive damnation on the other side. It's going to be added to you because you took away. And especially a man of God that stands in a pulpit and preaches it. And knows he shouldn't. Do not do that. My brother, sister, if you're a pastor, do not speak against this. Because that's where you begin to quench, to grieve the Holy Spirit. You vex him. Why? He's trying to give you the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And you see it, and now you're walking away from it. Don't do that. Don't walk away. 17. So come to pass in the last day, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants, my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit. And in those days, they shall prophesy. While speaking in tongues and interpretation is prophecy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. My last verse for tonight is, but you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. It's very plain. It's very plain. You got to stop the resistance. And then the revelation comes. Don't hate nobody that does this wrong. Don't hate them. I don't even hate the people that walked away and betrayed me and didn't want nothing to do with me. I don't hate them. I don't hate them for the words they said, for the mockery they said in the background against me. Yeah, you think that people that mocked you in the background, that God's not going to reveal to you that that's actually happening with them? He'll show you. He'll show you. So you can pray for them to receive it. Father, help them receive it. Every one of these people that have mocked us for this, flowing in the Spirit, walking with God, every one of them, Jesus, give them a dream and a revelation by night so that they don't miss heaven. And they live a life of faith, excitement, and joy, and celebration. In the mighty name of Jesus. For those of you who are in a church that has up till today forbid speaking in tongues, go to your next board meeting and just say, oh, we're not going to do that anymore here. And then follow the instructions in 1 Corinthians 14. You're a pastor. I'm speaking to pastors right now. I can tell it. You're a pastor. You're a man of God. Stand up. Ask God for his help. I encourage you, fast and pray. Fast your meats, your sweets. Fast everything. Fast and pray and study this. Not for preaching. Study it for yourself to grow and develop in God. And your life will change. I guarantee it because mine did. Jesus, mighty name. Let's pray. Everybody just lift your hands and we'll make this our closing prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus. Brother Roger, you want to say it with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift my hands to you.
I lift my hands to you.
And I declare, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And fire.
And fire.
I want to be everything you want me to be.
I want to be everything you want me to be.
And I receive the word of God tonight.
And I receive the word of God tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Now, this is the time in our evening when we always receive the communion elements together. I paid attention tonight, got mine with me. I want you to, yeah, Somebody's like, I'm getting the whole package tonight, Pastor. We're going to receive communion right here on online. Yeah, we're going to receive it. We do it every single night. Matter of fact, almost every single day since March 23rd, we've received communion online with other believers. Almost every day. Not quite, but almost. Because Holy Spirit told me when this first started, just take communion with your friends. And, of course, first we had to face the false doctrine that says you can only take communion in your church by a pastor. There ain't no verse in the Bible anywhere that says that. So I know I'm just like Jesus. I go straight to the synagogue and stir it up. But it's okay. That's what Jesus did, so that's what I might as well do. Read what the Bible says about communion, not what your denominational book says. Or what Doctrine Rever so-and-so 1777 said. Read the Bible, and you'll see the truth. And so we're going to read it. I'm going to read it right out loud, just like Jesus said it. I'm going to read it right out loud, just like the Apostle Paul said it. When he was teaching on tongues, I got to get some of these bookmarks out. I got so many of them, they're just falling out. So go with me to Luke chapter 22. Somebody's like, Pastor, this is like the fifth sermon in one night. Well, you might say that, but this is what we know since we've been here. Hebrews 10 says, as you see the day approaching, gather together all the more. Why? It gives you the ability to submit yourself to the word of God and say, I am getting this and I'm being your example. Send me out every day somewhere to be a blessing to somebody in Jesus' mighty name. Luke 14 through 20. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down and the 12 disciples were with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus, with fervent desire, we have come here tonight to receive this communion element with you. We enter in. We hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the Spirit of God in our lives. Sing this song with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. I don't want to just do grape juice and crackers. I want to be with you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you desire to do this with us. Verse 16, Jesus, for I say to you, I'll go no longer. I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup and he gave the thanks. And he said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine till the kingdom of God comes. There was never another Passover needed after this hour right here. Because within a matter of 16 hours, Jesus would have given his life. And he was the Passover lamb. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And we have boldness to go right to the throne of grace. And he took the bread, verse 19, gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then, 1 Corinthians 11:26, he said, do it in remembrance of me. And as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, here's the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. First John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're the body of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear, all the torment and the trauma that goes with it, because there's no fear in love. I've already prayed the prayer of salvation, so get you some elements, and we'll receive it together tonight. You might say, Pastor, I don't know too much about the Bible. Come be with us. It doesn't matter who you are or at what point in this ministry you come in. You will see the very elementary principles of the kingdom of God so that you will know exactly how to walk with God. You'll grow. Just by being with us, you're going to grow. Then send me an email. My email address is right down there in the description, the notes of this program. And hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and ask me any question. And I will give you a couple of videos to listen to, study, and some verses to study, and then we'll just progress, and you'll just walk with God. God led you here on purpose tonight. Stick around. Be a part. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. That doesn't do anything for us. That gives you the ability to be connected to us anytime that we go live. You'll show up in your YouTube homepage, and you'll know, hey, I better get over there and be with them. I know you have to be able to be here for every single time we're live. That's okay. But get you a habit of coming here. Turn off the stupid TV. We're watching the news and all that garbage. There ain't no value in it. We're so close to the end. You better get this book out and start finding out what God's going to, how you're going to be judged on that day over there, because there's a judgment day coming, even when you're born again. And you want to be right with God. Truly want to be right with God. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Here we go. Hold up your elements. Let's pray. We'll receive them together. Pray this prayer with me. I bless and sanctify these elements. Brother Roger, I need you, man. For this time of communion with you, Lord. I pray this with you. Every bit of this prayer is the word of God about why we receive the elements. So pay attention closely what we're saying. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
My chastisement
for my peace.
For my peace
is on you, Lord.
Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes we are healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
My mind, my will, my emotion.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
Body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
Right here in this community of faith.
All the way from Malaysia to Michigan.
All the way from Malaysia to Michigan.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the broken body of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken so that we have access to you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Every one of these statements are a verse of scripture of what the blood does for you. Pray it with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of the earth.
Most powerful cleansing force on the earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin has been put in remission.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
There's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
The throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
There's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
And my robes are made white.
And my robes are made white.
I will always be.
I will always be.
That glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I like this song. We sang the other one about the blood, but I'm going to sing this one. What can wash away my sin? nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah, Brother Roger?
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Now I'm going back to my verses one more time here. And let's read them. Job.
What?
Job chapter 33, verse 14. What's that, brother?
No 4 hours today?
We're getting ready to go on 4 hours here if I don't get done. Fourteen. For God may speak in one way or another. Job 14 through 18. Job 33, 14 through 18. God may speak in one way or another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. In order to turn man away from his deed and conceal pride from man, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Thank you, Jesus. Say it with me. I receive dreams and visions tonight while I sleep.
Tonight.
While I sleep.
While I sleep.
And I declare.
And I declare.
That the revelation comes to me.
The revelation comes to me.
In Jesus' mighty name. Our closing verses in Jude, verses 20 through 25. True beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. If you haven't read the book of Jude lately, make sure you read Jude, because when you see what's in Jude, you'll know why he said pray in the Holy Spirit. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making the distinctions, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. See, that's why we got to pray in the Spirit. It's because we got to get people out of the fire. It's not just get you to heaven. We got to get you to heaven, but we got to help you get some other folks with you. 24. Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Not falling, just stumbling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's what Jesus' righteousness does to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Agreed. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands and say it with me. We reap every soul who is with us tonight for the kingdom of God. No matter where they are, no matter where they've been, we draw them into the kingdom tonight. And we say, he that reaps souls is wise, and we walk in the greatest wisdom. I declare revelation, knowledge, and understanding come to you. You'll come back and study this video over and over and over, and you will be transformed by it. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember, I'll put some timestamps in at the important part of the where the teaching begins and the prophecies at, and you'll be able to go right to it. Timestamps, a little blue number. You'll see it in the description of this program. And if I don't fall asleep before I get it done, I'll get it into the first comment so you'll have those timestamps. And you can come back here, click that number, go right there. If you want to restudy it before I do and you find the beginning of the message, you put a timestamp in. If one of those verses speak out to you, look at the little time number up there on the YouTube line and then put it in a comment and say, here's the verse. You can put all the timestamps in you want. It'll be a blessing. I welcome it in Jesus' name. Ready? Hold your hands up and say, I received my hundredfold.
Receive my hundredfold.
Because I gave my time, talent, and treasure.
Because I gave my time, talent, and
treasure. To make this community of faith go.
To make this community of faith go.
And fulfill our mission on this earth.
And fulfill our mission on this earth.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. That's not all we got to say, because as Brother Roger says, preach on. I've been around the kingdom now for 47 years. So I got a whole lot I could say just off the cuff. But when you start going 4, 5, 6, 10 hours of teaching straight, that's got to be a flow of the Holy Spirit so that everybody can endure and nobody gets tired. That's what that turns into. And like Brother Hagin said, when the key jinglers and the watch lookers all get up and leave, now is when the Holy Spirit can move. But we're finished for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow morning for prayer, 9 a.m. Eastern. Nope, there's no prayer. Tomorrow's Saturday. We don't have morning prayer on Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow night for question and answer session. If tonight I raise some questions for you, I encourage you, send me an email, send me an instant messenger, text me on my phone and say, hey, Pastor, what about this? I welcome all the questions. Earlier you get them to me, the easier it is to put together a teaching so that we can do the work of God and have a powerful program tomorrow night. Question and answer session, Saturday night, right here, same channel, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific, and all y'all out in the ocean, we just love you. Build a nice hut. We're going to come see you. Jesus, mighty name. Till we see you again, what do we say, Roger?
Y'all come back now, year.
Amen. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
We love
you. And Jesus is Lord.
Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.